You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hey guys, today on the Best Practice Show, we're going to talk about the four things you should do to avoid an audit. You do not want to miss this. Stick around. We'll see you in a second. Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where you take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And if you're growing your practice and you're watching what's happening going on in the world of dentistry, you know medical coding, medical billing is a hot subject. And so it's one of those things we often say, don't ignore it. It is part of how the future is going to work in dentistry, and you got to be on the forefront of it. And so today I've got my good friend Lori Owens on today to help us with some insight on what's going on out there and how this all works. Now, couple show notes. We are shooting this, and as I'm asking Lori questions, I want you to take notes. Also, feel free to ask questions in the chat. We want you to get the most out of this, because while you're taking this education, you know, it's good to go back to your practice and apply it and put it back in. Also, have your team members watch these. A lot of times dentists do a lot of education. They learn about what's going on in the world, but we don't share this with our team members, and what a great opportunity it is to not only make them better, but collectively we all improve. Now, Lori, you're a good friend of ours, you know, incredible colleague, trustworthy expert. I know who you are, but if somebody's watching this for the first time and they don't know who Lori Owens is, give us a little background on who you are.
Absolutely. I am a medical billing director for DevDent, and we provide education for dental practices on billing medical insurance for their practice, helping to get their patients healthier, faster, and creating a different kind of revenue stream that doesn't include maximums or frequency limitations. And so our goal is to have dentists know what they're allowed to charge and how to do it, and the multiple ways, either electronic, paper, or by using a third-party biller.
Absolutely. Now, before you turn this off or you just jump to another podcast if you're listening, this is really important, because medical billing isn't anything like, you know, dental insurance billing. And it's a, you know, you might be thinking, well, gosh, what do I got to do? Do I have to completely discount everything? That's not what we're talking about at all. Give us a little sense of the landscape here, Lori, and why this is so important. So if I'm a 32-year-old dentist, why do I want to be listening to this?
Because you're going to have to start coding on your dental insurance claim forms as of January. So why not take it a little step further? Instead of becoming PPO within dental insurance where you're limited and have write-offs, why not use it towards a different vein? In other words, medical insurance is all about causality. What is the story? Why is this patient's care necessary for medical billing? And again, not all of your patients might apply to this, but in doing so, you also become a better dentist and dental billing, because knowing the codes and knowing how they pertain to your patients will get them healthier faster, and if you're billing medical and you do an FMX per se, an FMX is allowed every 5 years, and now it's going to be going to every 7 years, but yet you can't submit an FMX over 1 year old in order to get your claim paid. So how does that work? So why not, if you have a cause, the patient is high risk for caries, you're screening them for some dental disorders, are those causes of why you would want to see below the gum line and through a radiograph? Absolutely. Why not utilize the vein of medical billing in order to get what you need clinically and look at medical billing to pay for it?
Yeah, because if you could tell us, it's pretty special and near to dear of both of our hearts, because you don't have to participate in insurances. This is not what we're talking about. There are a lot of fee-for-service practices, mutual friends and colleagues. They don't do a dime of insurance whatsoever in dental insurance, but they know how to tell the story of true dental disease and the causality through codes, which you're going to explain a little bit more, and they're able to get reimbursement or dentistry paid for at their full fee. And it's really in the best interest of the patient. It puts together two worlds that are so important, you know, the health of the patient and doing what's right, but also the dentist being able to give their time, energy, and do it for a fair fee and their own fee.
Absolutely. And people would be shocked if they knew what their medical providers were getting for the same types of procedures that we do in dentistry. I mean, they're not done on the same locale because our dentists are licensed for head and neck. But doing a bone graft, if you have, say, for instance, a bone spur in your wrist, and your medical doctor takes the bone spur out and fills it with granulated bone, do you know how much he can get for that procedure? Over 10 grand. Over 10 grand. One small bone graft. And we feel bad about charging $300. And that doesn't even pay for your bone grafting material. And so I want dentists to reconsider. I'm not telling you you should charge $10,000, but I'm saying to reconsider. Maybe it might be fee reproportionating. In other words, get your coach, have them look at your fees. Can you move something from what you do have to write off to something you don't have to write off because it's not a covered benefit, like bone grafting? Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. And so give us a little background of what we're going to be talking about today, because before we jumped on, you and I were chatting, you're like, oh, I've got the perfect thing for you. So I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
So my medical billing supervisor, Kim Pajak, is amazing. And she helps so many offices get medical benefits for dentistry. And she messaged me early this morning and she said, Lori, I need better notes. And I said, what's going on? What are you getting? And she said, well, what if you sent me something that just said X SRP I number 9 hopeless? And I'm like, I don't know. Why is it hopeless? And she goes, exactly my point. I need better notes in order to help these offices. And so it spurred me to think, you know what, when we make our chart notes, It's not a walk in the park. It's work. It has to come from a place of work. And I found a little acronym to help people to remember that it's not going to be just a easy breezy lemon squeezy. It needs to take some concentration from our assistants, our hygienist, our admin team, and our doctors. And I'm not talking about the volumes that they wrote in dental school, but it's got to be somewhere in between the text messaging that they're trying to do now. And so let's talk about that number one, which is it has to be written. And I don't mean by hand. You cannot write in a chart and have it be legal anymore. It used to be 10 years ago. It's not now. You can't do it because there's no way you can prove the date and time when you wrote it. And so it used to be 2019 was the stopping point of fines for HIPAA, as well as the regulators of chart notes. They want to see that your EHR or your electronic health records are accurately kept in electronic health records. That's why they named it the EHR. And so we are doing not a great job in all areas because we're thinking if we put it in there and in the chart, it'll be okay. And what they're saying now is 2019, they stopped and they're assessing fines in medical. 2020, dental offices better be aware. If you have charts in your office, they're going to be on you. And guess who's paying some massive fines? Because you're violating HIPAA. If somebody steals your computer, they have a little more work to do to get to your data. If somebody breaks into your office and steals your charts, they have full avenues to obtain everybody's profile, social security numbers, addresses, and everything else. So you're not doing a protection of HIPAA when people can break in and take all your stuff from your office. So that's what we need to look at. The written part of it should be written in your practice management software. It should be locked. It should be signed. And it will be dated as soon as you close out that program. And what people don't realize is that auditors have a back door. They have a back door. They can see who deletes something. They can see who's adjusted something. And they want to know why. And so I don't want that practice. And my three things for you: get a coach, get a plan, and get off of your chart. Use your electronic charts for a reason. Coaches are great to help you create the plan so it doesn't seem so overwhelming. Believe it or not, Kurt, I was part of the team that took our charts from being a chart office to chartless. It's not easy. I understand that. But you have to have a plan. And again, my office was a consulted office. So we had a plan because our coach helped us and guided us through. So it wasn't so overwhelming that we could take a little bit at a time and understand that if you were seen from this day forward, there is no chart. And the other ones we're going to have access to for a certain amount of time.
Absolutely. In all fairness to team members, this is kind of a leading thought because I've seen you do your training. There's not a lot of courses out there on how to do this and make sure they're written. So when you have your first thing written in there, most dentists just say, go, just do it. And the team member goes, go do what? And then they're left to figure it out on their own. And that's why we're promoting these types of resources in this kind of education, because if you get the right training on how to do this on a regular basis, yes, it is hard work, but you're talking about setting yourself up for very long-term success, you know, from the get-go with each patient. You're talking about thousands and thousands of patients in decades of care as a dentist. So I think it's one of the cornerstones you have to have in place for somebody in this role.
And luckily, when we teach a course, we've written templates for every avenue. So if you say, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to write, we've written templates for you that you can copy, paste, and change. So when you do get the education, we're not going to leave you high and dry and say, oh, go figure out the note part on your own. We want to give you some resources to say, okay, assistant, if you have perio, is it chronic? Is it aggressive? Is it localized? Is it generalized? Is it mild, moderate, or severe? So that they can prompt to get the information so that they can document it the best way they can. And so just little things. But if you're not going to write it and you try to keep it all up here, I don't think they can put your brain on the stand because you're not even going to be able to remember accurately. And that's why writing our charts is so important. And what is the one thing we hear? I don't have time. Well, let's figure out how to make it the best and the fastest way possible without compromising. Because what happens if you get audited and your doctor's in trouble and your team's in trouble, you no longer have a job.
Right.
So which one's going to be more important, taking the time before or not working afterwards? I'm all about protecting our doctors, but within that, you protect yourself and you protect your team because you're putting everything down in writing. What if the patient calls to say they're in pain and there is no chart note, and then somebody else gets them and that patient goes, well, I spoke to so-and-so, and well, now you've just left a hole in your charting because nobody's making a note. And so write it down. Even though you think you remember, they're not going to uphold that in court. You have to have it written down.
Love that. So that's number one, right?
Yes. You also need it to be original. You are not going to have two patients that are the same. So I like templates, yes, But again, are you going to have two patients exactly the same? You need to be able to make sure you're keeping each patient as original as they are. Don't try to form them into your little template because you already have it created. Let them be who they are, have them be original, and therefore your chart note becomes original. And when an auditor looks at your chart note and says, well, you put the same thing about every patient that you saw that day, that's not going to fly. It has to be an original chart note. It has to be specific to the patient that you're seeing that minute, not later on, but that minute. Make sure you make good notes.
Now, can I ask you this question? Because I don't know the answer, is that auditing is a real deal in dentistry. Some dentists think, well, I'll never get audited, but it's more common than you would think, right?
It's bad. Linda Harvey and Debbie Carr just spoke at ADMC, and they spoke about how dental offices are being audited and what they have to pay for. Listen to this. They have to pay for not only the fine, but they have to pay for the whole audit, which could be about $20,000.
Wow. What's a fine usually?
The fine's usually 20 to 40. It depends on how many errors they find within that. And so Debbie Carr was telling us about, she has a case from January that she's working on. And right now the doctor's total for her time is $18,000.
Wow.
That's not including any fines. So it's being careful and realizing, Terry Harris from Harris Biomedical said dental offices will be audited 4 times more than they were last year. So why not be prepared and say, we're just covering ourselves, making sure that what happened is documented. It was written down. It was original to that patient. It's really, really important. And I would certainly hate for anybody that in any of my courses, I talk about all this so that I don't want them in trouble. I don't want their doctors in trouble. It's protecting their license. And that's how important it is.
Yeah. So it's got to be original in each one of them, unique to the patient as number two.
Yes. So number three is going to be it needs to be a story retold.
Okay. Explain what that means.
So I wanted to say retell, but then retail sounded like shopping. And I thought, no, I don't want somebody to get the idea that I'm telling you to go shopping, although it is a fun idea. But you want to retell what your patient has told you. So relay the conversation within that chart note. Like we asked the patient about their autoimmune disease. When was the last time they had a flare up? And patient said nothing in the last year. Retelling everything they said. Have you ever been hospitalized? Well, I was hospitalized last year to have my gallbladder out. How did that procedure go? Did you have any reaction? And answering all the questions that you're telling the patient. So we actually came up with a questionnaire to help our provider. So I'm going to offer that to whoever's listening. If they want to email me for those questionnaires, I would be glad to send it to them. It has one for autoimmune, diabetes, gastric, and pulmonary. And so asking the questions will help you be able to retell the story so that you can make effective and complete chart notes.
Don't even hesitate. Get her forms. I have all of them. Some of them I have them laminated. They're really well thought out. They're not just trivial forms. I mean, you really pay attention to the methodology, the steps, the right questions, and it's simple enough for me to understand. So you can imagine she knows what she's talking about. So
our goal as a team is to make sure that you have the resources you need, not what we want, but what you need. Every practice does the different things. So we want to make sure that we're being able to help you in those different areas. So like pedo, I have never done pedo. So I had to meet with a whole bunch of pedodontists to go through to get what they see on a regular basis to create the encounter form for pedo. So I don't want everybody to think I know all the answers, but I'll talk to the people that do and create the document based on their knowledge.
Yeah, I want to go back to number three because this is really important. As much as you and I have talked about this, telling the story through the codes is one of the key pieces here. So you're talking about being able to retell the story, but can you just spend a few seconds on, like, what does it mean to write the story around the codes? Explain that, because I love that.
So when we talk about retelling the story, your billers, whoever they are, whether it be dental or medical, that's what the juice of what's going on with the patient. Say, for instance, I know a lot of diabetics. My brother is diabetic and lost both of his legs because of diabetes, and he was 55 years old. Well, telling his story, do you think he has a harder time healing? Do you think he has a poor control because he's got that harder time healing? And so his A1C is high and his bacteria level in his oral cavity is high. And so when you see my brother, what are you going to ask him to relay in the story, to retell his story? And the good thing about medical billing is you tell it in 4 codes. You don't have to have 20 codes to tell the story. My patient has a partial loss of teeth due to trauma because they were hit in the mouth while they were playing basketball. So let's say it backwards. This patient came in, they were playing basketball, they got hit in the mouth, and the result is a loss of teeth. So both of the stories make sense, either forwards or backwards. What if I said, okay, Kurt, patient had partial loss of teeth due to trauma because of gout caused by being hit in the mouth while playing basketball. Does that make sense to you? No. What does gout have to do with trauma of losing a tooth? So making sure our story makes sense. Now, gout might play a big part of the patient, but that's how our billers, as well as our team, they can narrow down what is the contributing factor and what is a fact of the patient. So they're two different things, and both are important, but one is necessary for billing. In other words, if I were to submit that claim for that basketball claim, and in the chart note, they said nothing about being struck, and they say nothing about playing basketball, and nothing about that there was trauma, would I get that claim paid for that patient? And so retelling the patient's story, how did it happen? How did you get hit? Was it intentional or was it an accident? Knowing the details and retelling the story in your chart note.
Yeah, now it's amazing to me how many people don't even know about this. Even the most well-versed dentists, when it comes to fee-for-service practices, they'll say to me, you know, I've heard. I'm like, oh my gosh, like you of all people should know about this, you know, type of a thing.
And we really do have amazing providers of late. This whole year has been phenomenal. I've been able to meet so many great providers. And I don't know if I told you, but I have an endo office in Chicago getting reimbursed like 80 to 90% for endo. And his chart notes are phenomenal because he realizes it's important. His chart notes are going to make or break his medical claim. And so different things like that. And so I'm trying to get people on board because it's going to filter down to dentistry. And so people think, oh, it's not going to happen to me. I'm only billing dental insurance, or I'm fee for service, so I'm not going to have to worry about that. Well, yes, you are. It doesn't really matter if you're fee for service or not. Somebody can still come in and audit you. So don't take that off the table and get that out of your head. Even though I like fee-for-service offices, and even with medical billing, I don't want them to change their practice. I want them to always stay fee-for-service, even under medical billing, because we don't have to accept the assignment and just let it go to the patient. And it's absolutely working. So please don't think that I want you to change your fee-for-service status at all.
Absolutely not. Good words of wisdom. So
your last one, all of this stuff needs to be kept locked. I ran into an office and they're like, yeah, we make our chart notes. And I said, but how come this one's not locked? Oh, well, we didn't think, you know, if we wanted to change it, we wanted to be able to go back into it. And I said, no, kept means lock it. If you have to make an amendment later, that's exactly what it's supposed to be. It's an amendment to a note that you made. Now, for instance, Kurt, if you got a letter from the insurance company saying we want you to provide the chart notes, and you read the chart notes and you say, oh, I forgot to put this in, and you want to make an amendment, but you're going to try to be sneaky and date it for the before the letter came. Remember that back door again. You think you're getting away with it. And the insurance company, as well as any auditor, has a back door to your system. And they know the exact date you really made that note. So you're not going to get away with it. So make sure when you keep it, your notes are kept sealed. And if you think of something the next day, oh, I forgot to put this in there, and you make an amendment, that's okay. But you can't amend your notes to make sure they're compatible with what you want the insurance to do for you. It needs to be as soon as you remember. And again, that's why they created that, so that you can lock those notes, amend them later if necessary. But again, please don't do it just because the insurance sent you notification that they didn't like how you coded something. It needs to be done factually.
That triggers a red flag for any auditor to see a regular pattern of that, right?
Oh, definitely. And there is a red flag. There are dental offices with dental insurance that have been red flagged. What that means is anything they bill, they literally have to give them their blood type, their firstborn child. They have a grade. Every dental practice has a grade with insurance, whether you're PPO or not. I don't know if anybody knows that, but you are. You do. You have a grade. It's how fast your claims get paid, how accurately you're coding them. We have to think about that. We have a grade as dental providers. Are we being truthful, or do we want to look at what we can get paid? I'm going to go back to the cone beam. Everybody knows you can take a pano out of a cone beam. Everybody knows that. So are you billing the pano because you know that dental insurance will pay for it, but you took a cone beam? Is that legal or illegal? It's illegal in every way, shape, and form. If you take a pano, then absolutely bill the pano. But you can't bill the pano because you took it out of the CBCT. So, I mean, that's what a lot of offices are doing. And I understand they're trying to help their patients, but they're really hurting their office. And so our goal is to make sure you know that.
So what other thoughts or pitfalls would you point out against as you go down this path? What are some other final pieces of advice you'd give somebody who's looking to learn more about this or hasn't done this up to this point?
I teach and I love to teach. I really do. I have such a great time teaching, and I created a Jeopardy game for medical billing. It's pretty amazing. And so if we can get done in time, we play this Jeopardy game. And most of the people that have been to the course, you know, we just have fun. It's all about what we just learned over the last 2 days. We want you to know medical billing can be fun, and it's not as overwhelming as people think. Yes, there are going to be people that have larger deductibles, but let me ask you a question. If you meet their deductible, who have you helped, the practice or the patient? The patient, because if I send a claim and I can meet your deductible, oh my word, it opens up a whole bunch of new things for you. And even though I might not be getting paid, have I provided a service that helps the patient? Yes, we're not going to get any payment. Understood, but you have helped your patient. You've helped them meet their deductible. So if anything happens for the rest of the year, guess what? They have no out-of-pocket cost. So yes, I know there are higher deductibles, but our goal is to what? Help the patient. So if we can help the patient, and even if we're not getting payment, you've still helped the patient. So please don't think that satisfying a deductible, you've not done a good job helping them. You really have. One of the other things I want to tell people is you did not pick that deductible for the patient. Sometimes they don't have a choice, but it wasn't your contract with the insurance company. It was your patient's. So don't hold that on to yourself. I think us as medical billers and insurance billers overall, we feel bad. I mean, we feel bad when we can't help people. We feel bad when we're not going to get a payment for them. We feel bad when we learn something new and we could have helped somebody last year and we can't do anything about it this year. I mean, we do feel bad, and we try to own their illnesses by figuring out a way to help them get this service done to feel better. And so that's hard on anybody in a dental office, because everyone I've met, I've not met one that doesn't have a heart for the people that they work with. They all help. And so I want to remind people, your deductible, when you can meet that, you have been a big help to them. And most of our patients will know it. They will. I learned that lesson with Steve. You'll like this. Steve is a diabetic, and he was we had to do a couple implants, and I had to make the phone call to Steve to tell him I had a $42 credit from his medical. And I'm like, great. So I call Steve. Hi, Steve. It's Lori. Just want to let you know you have a $42 credit from your medical insurance. And he's like, oh, I was hoping they'd pay a little bit more. And I said, I know, I'm so sorry. I said, but they satisfied your deductible, and then they paid us the $42. And all of a sudden he started whooping and hollering. And I'm like, did you hear me? $42. It's not $4,200. And he said, do you know what that means? And I said, apparently not. He said, I'm diabetic. I go to the doctor a lot. I have diabetic supplies a lot. He said, you satisfied my deductible, and I no longer have an out-of-pocket for the rest of the year. And I was like, oh my goodness. I didn't even realize it. He did before I did. And he helped me to understand, even by getting $42, that helped him in more ways than I could imagine. And so I want to tell listeners, even though you satisfy a deductible, you are helping your patient. And you might not know it, but it might mean a lot to them. Or they might have a surgery planned for later on that year, that now you've just saved them a lot of money. So it does go both ways. You are helping even by satisfying the deductible.
Yeah. And Lori, you're helping so many people. I already know that from clients of ours to friends of the community to so many people, just helping patients and dentists alike enjoy what they do. Patients are getting the care they deserve. It's pretty fun. Now, I'm always going to encourage our listeners or our viewers to get your resources. And you had mentioned the form earlier. So for the benefits of people just listening on iTunes, where can I go to get that information, Lori?
If they want to email me at Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E, at devdent, devdent.com, I will send them the PDFs of all of those questionnaires. I will send them to you, Kirk, and then you can, if people get to you instead of me, that you'll have them available for them. But my goal is, it's not necessarily about me. It's about you being able to utilize what can help your practice to get the information that they need to treat the patient.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you also have incredible resources like your coding guides and other things like that. If you email, I'm sure you're going to stay in constant conversation with them, Lori. I'm just going to encourage you. You have webinars, you have other things. You're a great speaker. We've had you many times out here. So I just can't encourage somebody enough that if you're looking for a great resource in this area, Lori's your person. So Lori, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you.
Every time you come on, I learn a little bit more. And this topic, again, so incredibly important. If you're a young dentist or even a mature dentist, and you're looking to go in a direction that's exciting, this isn't going away. This is going to be here for quite a little bit going on. Yeah. So cool. Well, stick around, Lori, while we say goodbye to everybody else. And thank you again. We're going to have you back and talk. I mean, Lori's our regular resident guest here, and we'll have her back again and again and again until this goes away, which is never. So that's a pretty cool thing. So thank you guys for watching. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share it with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for shows, things that you guys would like to see here in the future. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practice Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.